Imagine waking up to find a dangerous stranger sitting calmly in your apartment during a thunderstorm. For Peyton Vaudrey, this terrifying moment marks the beginning of a relationship that will challenge everything she understands about safety, desire, and the blurred lines between protection and possession. When Nero, powerful, scarred, and undeniably dangerous, slips through her unlocked balcony door, he's instantly captivated by her rose scent and innocent vulnerability. Despite glimpsing the gun beneath his jacket, Peyton finds herself oddly compliant when he commands her to relax and watches her movie as if his presence were perfectly normal. Before leaving, he steals her shower gel and underwear, leaving behind a $100 bill and a warning. "Keep your doors locked, Peyton." Leaving them open could be seen as an invitation. This encounter sets the stage for a relationship that's simultaneously terrifying and magnetic, leaving us questioning how far we might go for someone we consider ours or who considers us theirs. Beneath Nero's ruthless exterior lies a man shaped by trauma. His scarred body reveals a violent past that forged him into the powerful figure ruling the criminal underworld alongside King. Their legitimate security company masks illegal operations maintained through calculated violence and strategic relationships. Peyton awakens in him a protective instinct bordering on obsession. Upon learning her stepfather, Arthur, abused her throughout childhood, Nero travels to Fargo to murder him, forcing the man to choke on his own finger before taking his pinky ring as a trophy. "I'll lie, cheat, steal, and murder. I'll do whatever I need to do to protect you," he tells her, both warning and promise. His possessiveness extends to anyone who disrespects her, like punishing a woman who hurt Peyton by having her hair cut off. This duality, extreme violence paired with surprising tenderness, creates a character who challenges moral boundaries. Despite her challenging background, Peyton maintains a remarkable sense of hope and authenticity that draws Nero to her. She leads a modest life, working at Twins Cafe, while nurturing dreams of a simple home with a garden. Her decision to welcome Nero into her life marks a significant turning point. Their relationship develops gradually, with Peyton choosing to trust him despite his complex nature. She offers him her complete trust, a profound gesture that symbolizes her conscious choice to enter his world while sharing something deeply personal. What makes their dynamic fascinating is how Peyton retains her fundamental goodness while adapting to Nero's complicated reality. When she discovers Nero's role in removing someone who had caused her great harm, she responds with understanding, "I'm grateful you protected me." The Alliance, the organization led by Nero and King, operates within intricate spheres of influence. Founded after dismantling a criminal enterprise, it maintains a delicate balance between legitimate security operations and financial dealings. They cultivate strategic partnerships with civic leaders, including Minneapolis's mayor, who views them as business associates while being unaware of their full scope of operations. This complex landscape becomes particularly significant when Mikhail, seeking vengeance for his father's fate, targets Peyton. The narrative's strength lies in its exploration of gray areas between legitimate enterprise and shadow operations, reflecting the nuanced nature of Nero and Peyton's evolving relationship. The contrast between Peyton's modest life and Nero's opulence reveals how wealth affects safety and freedom. Nero's millions represent not just wealth, but power. His mansion with crystal chandeliers and extensive security symbolizes both protection and isolation. For financially struggling Peyton, this luxury world is simultaneously appealing and alienating. When Nero encourages her to redecorate, saying that room needs your color, he shows desire to integrate her into his life rather than keeping her as a mere ornament. Peyton struggles with being moved to Nero's mansion for her safety, finding herself isolated without friends, work, or purpose. Her loneliness drives her to venture out alone, resulting in kidnapping by Nero's enemy. Despite his bodyguards, secure vehicles, and fortified home, they fail to prevent her abduction, suggesting true safety cannot be purchased. Their financial dynamic evolves from Nero leaving $100 bills that make Peyton feel dirty to genuine provision that becomes an expression of love rather than control, culminating in him fulfilling her dream of visiting the Grand Canyon. This story explores obsession and our fundamental need to belong. Nero exhibits classic obsessive attachment, stealing Peyton's items, watching her, researching her background, and feeling intense jealousy. His thoughts reveal this fixation. I should feel like a piece of shit for what I'm doing to her and her life, but greed always outweighs guilt. And when it comes to Peyton, I'm all greed. His possessiveness emerges in repeated declarations that you are mine. What complicates this dynamic is Peyton's reciprocal possessiveness when she demands no more women, don't touch them, and don't let them touch you, ever. The psychology of belonging unfolds through the home motif. Peyton initially resists leaving her apartment, yet gradually makes Nero's mansion her own. Their relationship involves power negotiations, where Nero controls, yet Peyton maintains agency. Their shared traumas create understanding that bridges their differences. You give me peace, he tells her, showing how her acceptance fulfills needs his wealth and power never could. Can a relationship built on uneven power dynamics ever be healthy? The story offers no easy answers, presenting a connection that defies conventional moral categories. Nero acknowledges this. I said I wasn't a good man. I'll lie, cheat, steal, and murder, but I'll never lie to you about who I am. His self-awareness gives Peyton a choice to accept him fully, knowing his nature. Her embrace of him, despite knowing what he is, raises questions about complicity. When she thanks him for killing her abusive stepfather or shoots his kidnapper to protect him, she becomes an active participant in his world, not as moral corruption, but as necessary survival. By the epilogue, their relationship contains mutual respect and genuine affection. The necklace Nero gives Peyton, half anatomical heart, half blooming rose, made from her abuser's melted ring, symbolizes their connection. Violence transformed into beauty. The inscription, "You are my heart, I am your rose," captures their essence, his protection and her softening influence. Why has this story captivated millions on TikTok and earned praise from celebrities like Megan Fox, who called it disturbingly addictive? Like classic Gothic romances, it taps into primal fantasies of being chosen and valued above all else. The fantasy isn't about abuse, but about someone reshaping their world for you. This narrative stands out for its psychological depth and acknowledgement of problematic elements without romanticizing abuse, offering readers a safe space to explore darker fantasies within fiction. At the Grand Canyon, fulfilling Peyton's childhood dream, we witness their transformation. Her initiating intimate contact in public shows her evolution from timid victim to confident partner. Nero's playful response despite onlookers demonstrates how he now prioritizes love over his carefully maintained image. Their final dance under desert stars completes a journey from darkness to light, not because Nero became good, but because they created their own definition of love in the shadows. There's something powerfully seductive about a love fierce enough to burn everything in its path while still keeping you warm.